Welcome back to the Goal Line Stuff, the show where we talk about anything and everything football related. I'm Alex Kirktreev.
And I'm Michael San Antonio. And boy, do we have a show for you today. What a week it has been in the NFL. So much stuff has gone down, literally. I mean, trade deadline, first off. We didn't expect many moves. And I think we were a little surprised by some of these moves. But the trade deadline isn't even the craziest of the stuff that's happened. We've had so many injuries for star superstar players. The Henry Ruggs situation, which we'll get to. Odell Beckham Jr. was cut yesterday, and we're going to talk about that. And then we also have a bunch of COVID controversy going on, the Aaron Rodgers situation. It's just really been a lot, Alex.
It has been a lot. And Michael, I don't think that I can come up with a bigger news week for the NFL since I've been a fan. There's just been so much stuff, and that's what we're about to get to.
This will be a strictly, we'll be talking about news, we'll be talking about headlines, our opinions on the news that we see. I don't think there'll be another episode like this. It's pretty wild.
That I do agree with. I think this is going to be a unique one, just because there's so much stuff that happened.
Yeah, let's get into some of it. First, trade deadline. Chiefs get rid of veteran Laurent Duvernay-Tardif. Pretty good offensive lineman. He's obviously a great guy. Fought COVID last year instead of played football. Very minor trade. But yeah. Another trade that went down, the Melvin Ingram trade. Alex, do you want to talk about this at all?
It's pretty insignificant in the long run. Melvin Ingram, he does still have some gas left in the tank, and he'll be a good piece for the Chiefs' defensive line. But in the ultimately, it's a sixth-round pick, and it's a veteran pass rusher that's probably just going to be a rotation piece and nothing crazy impactful. But still, he's a big name, so it's worth mentioning.
He is a big name. He was a very good pass rusher a couple years ago. Looking at it, I mean, looking at what he did on the Steelers this year, he actually played pretty well, but I don't think he's a superstar anymore. It's been a couple years since he's been a superstar. So this trade isn't really anything crazy. Chiefs get a decent defensive end, pretty much it.
Next, this is a move that happened last week, but it's certainly worth mentioning. Mark Ingram got traded back to the Saints, and he had a good game last week. He definitely spelled Alvin Kamara really well, and their offense looks good, just like it did back in 2017 when those two were the best backfield in the whole league. Ingram provides a really good complement to Alvin Kamara's quickness and receiving prowess. And his ability to just pound it on the ground, especially now with them not having a healthy Jameis Winston, he's going to be huge for their postseason hopes.
Yeah, I agree. This is a trade solely based on chemistry. You know, Mark Ingram, I don't know what I'm saying. Mark Ingram was a great running back in 2017. He took Alvin Kamara and he taught him how to be a good NFL running back. They have great chemistry. In 2017, like you said, they were the best backfield in the league. So, you know, Sean Payton definitely wanted to bring them back, get some of that chemistry going. You know, with Michael Thomas not coming back, with the Saints offense struggling a little bit this year, I definitely like that move, Alex.
I agree with you. Another huge move that came out of nowhere, the Von Miller trade to the Los Angeles Rams. I mean, we knew that Von Miller was getting traded sooner rather than later, but for it to happen at the deadline out of nowhere, especially to the Rams, is insane to me, because the Rams already have a stacked defense with guys like Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey and Leonard Floyd. And to add a pass rusher like Von Miller, he's getting up there in age, but he's still very good. I don't know that he's top tier anymore, but he's close to it. And to add a guy like that next to Aaron Donald is comical.
Yeah, I think it's ridiculous that he's the third best player on the defense. That's ridiculous. Like you said, he's getting up there in age, but he's not, I don't want to say he's a superstar, but he's still a star player. I think he's still a Pro Bowl, like, quality player. He is getting up there in age. He is coming off of 2020. He was injured the full season. This year, he isn't quite up to par with what he's been doing in past years. But like I said, he's still a star. The Rams defense looks scary. You know, Sean McVay is definitely making the point that they're in it to win it this year. I love this trade, actually, for both sides. You know, Von Miller is going to be a free agent at the end of this year. His contract's coming up. So the Broncos, you know, they get a second round pick out of this and they get a third round pick out of this.
Yeah, so that's
pretty good.
I think my favorite part of this trade is that the Rams continue their boycott of the NFL draft.
Yeah, I love it.
They haven't made a first round pick since Jared Goff, which was the 2016 draft. This is about to be the 2022 NFL draft. So that's 6 years and counting without making a first round pick. And they keep trading away their other high picks, the second rounders, the third rounders. It's just hilarious to me. And it's not like they're suffering because of it. They're getting all these star players and they're in a win now mode, especially with Matthew Stafford they just traded for, that they're making a Super Bowl run and they're not going to leave any stones unturned and miss out on any opportunities, even if it costs them every single pick they have.
This is definitely a win now season, though. Like, I love the moves they're making. I love their team. I definitely think they have a couple years where they could be great, but it's only a couple years. The window is going to close pretty soon with players aging. Aaron Donald isn't going to stay this great forever. I mean, who knows? He might. He might. But I'm just saying, you know, Stafford's not up there yet, but he will get there soon. He's, what, 33, 32? 33, I'm pretty sure. So, yeah, the window's, it's pretty short. I think they're my favorite to win the Super Bowl as of right now. I think McVay's the second best coach in the league. And I think this defense is just, it's great. And Cooper Kupp and Stafford playing great on offense. So, really, I don't think any team's better than them right now, especially after this trade. I love what they're doing. I think any team competing, you know, for the Super Bowl going into the trade deadline should look to make moves like this to propel their team, to get them to that point where, you know, there's no doubt that they're a Super Bowl contender.
See, that's the thing about the NFL trade deadline. It's not like the trade deadline for other sports. You see huge moves happening in basketball. You see huge moves happening in baseball. But with the NFL, there's always like dead cap implications and salary cap mm-hmm. implications with the trade deadline. So you never really see major moves happening in the trade deadline. There was all this hype about Deshaun Watson potentially being traded at the deadline. That didn't happen. There was
all just hype.
Allen Robinson was going to get traded. That didn't happen. Mitch Trubisky didn't even get traded. That was a headline for a couple of hours on the deadline day.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, there's so much hype around the deadline and nothing ever really happens. That's all that crazy. So to see a name like Von Miller get traded at the trade deadline is all, I don't want to say unprecedented, but it's certainly unusual.
Yeah, it's very big news. But I actually wasn't surprised when I saw it. I was surprised for a second, but I kind of had a sense that Von Miller was on his way out of Denver. If you remember, a lot of stuff happened last year with Von Miller. We're not going to talk about it. But yeah, a lot of stuff happened. Some news articles came up about some personal stuff he did. And, you know, he was hurt. He's getting up there in age. So the trade makes sense, but it's a little surprising. After, you know, he's been one of the centerpieces on the defensive side of the ball in the NFL over the last decade. It's going to be weird seeing him on the Rams, but I definitely think he has a couple years left in the tank. And I think that he'll be a central piece to that Rams defense when they win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I agree with you. And yeah, I think that's all there is to say about the Von Miller trade. Next up, we have the Jets and their quarterback conundrum, let's just call it. Obviously, it's not actually a conundrum because Zach Wilson is the unquestioned starter when he's healthy again. But to see Mike White come in there and just, I don't want to say annihilate the Bengals because it was a close game until the end. But for Mike White to come in there and have any success whatsoever was surprising to me, to be honest. Because last week we made this whole segment about how the Bengals were legit, and then they turn around and lose to a guy that sounds like he's a Madden auto-generated rookie. Which, not to take any credit away from Mike White, because he played amazing. But it's just odd to me that Mike White could come in there and have that much success right away.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I was shocked, honestly. I think the game he played against the Bengals was by far the best game the Jets have played, and it was because of his quarterback play. He really elevated them. He was incorporating running backs. He was throwing it to everybody pretty much. One thing I really like, Elijah Moore has been part of the game plan a lot more with the Jets as of recent, and I think he's their best receiver.
See, so, I don't like that statement as someone who owns Corey Davis in fantasy, but Elijah Moore is definitely on his way to being their best receiver. I don't think it's going to happen this year, but next year is certainly it's plausible. And in fact, maybe even halfway through the year, he had 2 touchdowns last night. And I saw a stat. It is that 2 out of the 3 Jets quarterbacks have thrown for 300 yards, and neither of them were Zach Wilson. Josh Johnson, who got drafted in 2008, came in there and threw for 300 yards against the Colts last night. Granted, it was garbage time, but Zach Wilson still hasn't thrown for 300 yards.
Josh Johnson looked great. It was garbage time. The Colts were already up 28-30, whatever it was. Jonathan Taylor had an incredible game. He probably could have gotten 250, 260 rushing yards if they kept him in, but they took him out. It's whatever. But Josh Johnson looked great. So did Mike White when he started yesterday. So I think Zach Wilson's on the hot seat. They're not going to bench him, obviously. He's their rookie quarterback. They took 2nd overall. They're not going to bench him when he comes back. He just needs to play a little bit better, especially, it's his rookie year, so he has time. But if Mike White's going out throwing 400 passing yards, 3 touchdowns, winning against the Bengals, Zach Wilson's going to have to start showing up a little bit.
Yeah, it's a rough start to Zach Wilson's career, but I think just as the game starts slowing down for him and he realizes that he can take his checkdowns, I think he has an amazing arm talent and he's going to have a really great career in the NFL eventually. He just needs to figure it out and take it slower in his rookie year. He's going for too many hero plays.
Just like Carson Wentz.
Mm.
he played well last night, by the way. He played very well.
He did play very well. But the Jets defense is not good, to say the least.
Yeah, no. It's not like I was super impressed or anything. He just played well.
He did play well.
Speaking of a first overall quarterback, we actually didn't say a first overall quarterback. I don't know why I'm talking, but a quarterback drafted very high in the draft. We talked about Carson Wentz, Zach Wilson. Now we're going to talk about the 2015 #1 overall pick, Jameis Winston, out for the year. That's awful news, in my opinion. But I think the Saints will be fine. They got Taysom Hill. They got Trevor Siemian. Siemian beat Brady last week, which surprised me. I thought Brady was coming back, had that awful pick. I think this complicates the Saints' offense a little bit. Kamara may not get the touches that he's been getting. Michael Thomas out for the year. So there's just a lot to think about right now with the Saints. Taysom Hill looks pretty good last year, though. I think Sean Payton will figure something out. You talked about their defense last year, or last episode, about how good their defense was looking this year. The defense didn't play great last week, but still, I don't think that they're totally doomed. What do you think, Alex?
See, I like their chances a lot better with Trevor Siemian than Taysom Hill at quarterback, which obviously Sean Payton agrees with me because Trevor Siemian's starting. By the way, did you see his Wikipedia page last week? About halfway through the 4th quarter, if you Googled Trevor Siemian, it said on his Wikipedia page, Trevor Siemian is American football quarterback for the Saints and is widely regarded as the greatest quarterback of all time.
Did not see it, that, but that was I agree with that statement. That I agree with that statement.
And Another crazy thing, Jameis Winston's last six seasons have all ended in him throwing a touchdown, whether it be to his own team or to the other team. I just think that's crazy. That's Jameis, man. That's got to be the odds somewhere in the millions. But
yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Anyway,
I just want to say quickly, I disagree with you, actually, and with Sean Payton. I don't think Trevor Siemian's all that great. He's more of a, you know, traditional, conventional quarterback than Taysom Hill is. I just think Taysom Hill's the better player. I think he'll make more plays to win them the game. I don't think either of them are that great options at quarterback. We'll just have to see what happens. I think if Taysom Hill is 100%, I think we'll see him starting under center in a week or two.
Oh, no, I completely agree with you in that Trevor Siemian isn't very good, but I just don't think Taysom Hill can throw the ball effectively enough to propel that offense to anywhere.
You can run that. Where they want to be.
See, yes, he can run really well, but they also have a backfield of Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara. So I don't think they need that kind of boost to their run game. I think they need to elevate their passing game, especially without Michael Thomas now. I think they need to have the best passer on the team be at quarterback so they can have a balanced offense.
They don't have the weapons to be a balanced offense.
They don't, but they have the defense to where they can limit the other team's points and run the ball effectively enough along with some passing in order to win games. And I think Trevor Siemian provides enough passing to where they are going to be able to win games.
We'll have to see. I mean, yeah, Trevor Siemian was a starter for two seasons, so you know, he can be a starter, but I just personally think that Taysom Hill gives them the best bet to win, even if they just have to go run heavy for the rest of the season. Speaking of run heavy, the best running back in the NFL is out for a long period of time. Derrick Henry, who was on pace to break the single season rushing record, is now out, and it looks like he'll be out for the rest of the year, pretty much. You know, if they're in the playoffs, he might come back for the playoffs. Pretty bad foot injury. Alex, what does this mean for Tennessee and their chances looking forward for the playoffs?
I'm not liking Tennessee's chances, but you also have to consider that they beat the Colts twice. They're already two games up on the Colts.
Yep.
So I think that I'm going to contradict myself immediately. I think they're going to win the division, but I don't think they're going to win any games in the playoffs. I think the Colts are the best team in the division, but they've already dug themselves in too deep of a hole. So that's just unfortunate for the Colts and lucky for the Titans if they can get Derrick Henry back for the playoffs. I still don't think he'll be 100% for the playoffs, but anytime you have Derrick Henry on the field, your offense is dangerous. I think it's just going to be a way too big of a blow for the Titans because that offense is Derrick Henry. Like, it's not just that they run the ball so much, it's that they run the ball with Derrick Henry so much. That offense would not be able to function that way with anybody else at running back outside of maybe Dalvin Cook or Saquon Barkley, but both of them have health issues, which Derrick Henry has never had up until now. The invincible man, he finally goes down. Not finally, as if we wanted him to go down, but
I know what you're saying.
It was bound to happen as a running back in the NFL, a superstar that gets that many carries. It was bound to happen eventually, which sucks, but I don't know that they have a contingency plan. They signed Adrian Peterson, but Adrian Peterson in his mid-30s, I don't know how much he's going to be able to do. I don't think any of those backs on their roster are going to be able to fill even like a third of what Derrick Henry provides for them. So they're going to have to go pass heavy, which they do have A.J. Brown and Julio Jones, but we'll have to see Ryan Tannehill as an air raid type quarterback airing the ball out all the time. We haven't seen him like that in Tennessee yet because they've had Derrick Henry the whole time and they've been able to play off the play action the whole time he's been there. So I think this will be a major test of Ryan Tannehill's talent, and we'll just have to see what happens.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is a huge test to see if Ryan Tannehill is actually legit. I mean, he's been playing great since he's came to Tennessee. He's kind of been their missing piece, and it hasn't really been him. It's been the offense around Derrick Henry that's been flourishing, but Tannehill has played great in that role as a game manager for them.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. Tannehill has played amazing, and to call him a game manager is completely unfair to him because he's been very good for them. A game manager, to me, is someone that doesn't really win you games with his arm, which Tannehill has done multiple times for the Titans. So calling him a game manager, I just don't like that. But I also do agree with you that they've played off Derrick Henry completely, and Tannehill has not had to carry the team before.
It's just like, I think you could put anybody, any quarterback in that middle range of quarterbacks. You know what I'm talking about? Baker, Derek Carr, Kirk Cousins, Matt Ryan. I think you could place any of them in that Titans offense right now, and I don't think that they would lose less games than Ryan Tannehill does. I think they would do very similar to what he's doing. And that's not, I'm not against Ryan Tannehill. I don't think he's a bad quarterback. I'm just saying that I think he's very replaceable. Now, I do think he's good. I think he's my 12th or 13th ranked quarterback in the league right now, which is pretty good. I like him. But like I said, I just think A.J. Brown, Derrick Henry have really made the difference, at least in the last year or two, with that Titans team. Also, the game plan, obviously how the offense is run through Vrabel. Vrabel's a great coach, in my opinion. I really like what the Titans have done, and I actually disagree with you. I think that they'll be able to replace Derrick Henry. Now, they will completely have to change up how they run this offense. They're going to have to start airing it out to A.J. Brown and Julio a lot more. Julio looks like he may be fully healthy. He's on my fantasy team, so I hope so, but, you know, who knows? But basically, I just think they're going to do, you know, they got McNichols. They got Adrian Peterson, who, yeah, like you said, he's 36. He looked good last year, though. They're gonna involve both of those guys somewhat heavy. And then they're going to air it out a lot more. They're not going to have as much success offensively as they do with Derrick Henry, but I think they'll be fine. I think they'll win the division still. The Colts did dig themselves too far in that hole. And I still think that they are a decent playoff team, even if Henry doesn't come back in the playoffs. I do agree. I don't think they're winning a playoff game, but you never know. I just want to see what the offense looks like, honestly.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see how they adapt, especially since Arthur Smith is gone now. So they're going to have to adapt to a new offense without their offensive mastermind now. And yeah, we'll just have to see what happens.
Yeah. Crazy news with Henry. And maybe, actually, I don't know if I'll say this is the biggest, but this is one of the most interesting things that we're going to be talking about. The Odell Beckham Jr. situation and him getting cut by the Cleveland Browns. Alex, did you expect this move coming in?
Yes.
Yes?
After what happened all season with Odell, absolutely I expected this move. Because
I thought he was going to get traded, personally.
I don't think any team wants to be responsible for that giant contract he signed, especially with his injury issues and the performance he's given with the Browns. Obviously, I think he's better than his performance suggests, but also it's an insane contract for someone like Odell. And so, especially with all the drama that happened, his dad posted a 12-minute video of Odell just getting open and Baker missing him. And another Browns player came out and said that Odell does nothing. He doesn't talk to anyone. And the writing was on the wall. The writing's been on the wall since last year. The Browns got exponentially better last year when Odell got hurt. Because I feel their offense just isn't catered to have a superstar receiver the way you would want Odell to be treated in an offense. So I do think it was coming. I did think it was coming, I should say.
Like I said, I did not think he'd just get straight out cut. I'm a little surprised about that. Not after what his dad did and him liking, you know, the tweet about freeing him and LeBron and all that stuff. You know, a lot of stuff happened this week, so once all that happened, I was like, okay, he's probably going to get cut. But before that, I didn't think he was going to get cut. He was such a great receiver. Still could be. We don't know. Some stats I want to mention. Since Odell has been on the Browns in 2019 since he came onto the team. Him and Baker have the second lowest passer rating between quarterback and a receiver. Sam Darnold and Robbie Anderson are the lowest. That's not surprising.
Does not shock me.
But that's pretty crazy. We consider Baker a decent quarterback, and we consider Odell, I mean, obviously, his first couple of seasons, he was on pace to be one of the best receivers of all time. So to have them have the second worst passer rating when Baker is targeting Odell, that's pretty awful. And Odell hasn't played great. I'm not going to defend his play. He's been injured. He's had some drop issues on the Browns. He hasn't looked like the Odell on the Giants, but I still think Odell's there. I think a lot of the issue is Baker forcing passes that he shouldn't be to Odell. I think Stefanski doesn't cater to Odell. Like you said, the Browns are not, they're not set for a superstar receiver. They have so many, they have Chubb, they got Hunt. They have a lot of weapons, a good O-line, good defense, but they just don't need a superstar receiver. They have no room for it. So I really think that getting rid of Odell was the right move for both sides. It's pretty sad, in my opinion, what's happening to his career. I hope he could get back on track. I just don't know at this point with all the injuries and all the controversy going on. It's pretty crazy. I think a lot of people have talked about how he has such a big ego, how he might be a locker room issue. I just want to say, I don't think that's a problem at all. I think the Browns did him wrong in this situation with how they used him. And I think he had every right to do what he did. He needed to get out of there to save his career. The Browns don't need him anymore. The best receiver on a team has to have a big ego because they have to think they're going to catch everything. They have to think that they're the best in the league, which Odell was at one point. And I think he still could be, but I don't think he will be. If he goes to the right team, though, who knows?
Yeah, I don't think he's going to make a huge impact for the rest of the season, which just because I went and said that on record now, he's going to be a top five wide receiver for the rest of the season. That's just how it works. But like I said, I don't think it's going to be this season. Next year, after an offseason with whatever his new team is, I personally think it's going to be San Francisco. And after an offseason with them, after an offseason working with Kyle Shanahan and building up chemistry with Trey Lance, who's going to be the starter there next year, I think he'll go back to his ways of being a star. That offense is going to be scary next year with Debo, Kittle, and, in my opinion, Odell. And it's just not happening this year, like I said. I don't know that the Niners are going to be the team to claim him, though. I think there definitely is a reason to watch out for the Eagles to claim him. The Eagles receivers are putrid, and Jalen Hurts would benefit a lot from having an Odell Beckham Jr. on his team as his number one read. He does really well with throwing outside, but over the middle is rough. So to have someone like Odell on a slant route that can take it to the house at any point, it would be huge for Jalen Hurts' development as a quarterback. We can't have a solidified opinion on Jalen Hurts at this current moment because the offense he's in is just so awful. And his receivers are bad too. So
let me interject for a second. Jalen Hurts is awful, okay? Wow. I know the offense is awful, but Jalen Hurts is not a good quarterback. His passes stink. Some receivers get open. Quez Watkins gets open. Dallas Goedert gets open. Jalen Hurts consistently is just missing easy passes. I think he can improve, but I don't think Odell wants to be on the Eagles. I think he will hate it here, especially if he, like, this season.
Odell, it'll be
such a struggle if Odell plays this year on the Eagles. I just don't think he'll produce anything. I definitely think we are one of the teams who could pick him up, and I would love him. But if we need Hurts to be a competent quarterback before Odell could be a long-term option for the Eagles. And I just
maybe
can't see that happening.
Maybe Odell turns Hurts into a competent quarterback. You ever consider
I don't think so. I honestly don't think so. I think Hurts is gone in a year or two. I think he could be a backup, but I don't think he can be a starter from what I've seen so far this season, from watching every Eagles game, of course.
I agree. Like I said, the Niners are probably where he ends up. They're 12th in the waiver order. whereas the Eagles are ninth. So the Eagles definitely have their chance to pick him up. The Eagles are eighth, I should say. That's my mistake. The Niners are 12th, and I think he's the perfect landing spot for them. Watch out for the Niners next year. I said it this year, and it was completely wrong, but watch out for those Niners next year.
Pretty bold prediction going to the Niners, but I agree with you there. I don't think we're getting him. I don't think any of the teams in the top 10 are going to go after him, even though some may benefit by doing it. I don't think they're going to do it at this point in the season. I think the Niners, I think John Lynch made it pretty obvious that they were willing to get him if he falls to them, that they would be open to the idea of an Odell Beckham Jr. on that offense. So I actually agree with you with the Niners, and hopefully he will have a career resurgence with Trey Lance throwing him bombs next year.
And what do you think happens to the Browns rest of season now without Odell?
I honestly don't think it affects them much. They're not using him. I think the offense may get – the offense won't really change. We saw what the offense was like last season. I don't think they're going to improve drastically, but I do think that this is a good move for the Browns, like I said. Jarvis Landry will look to get some more targets. Nick Chubb may have some monster games coming up. I like this move. I think it opens up the passing offense a lot. It's what Stefanski wants. It's what Odell wants. Good move, both sides.
You think they're a playoff team?
I do think they're a playoff team. I do think that they're going to get the wild card, sneak in. I don't know who's winning the division. I said the Bengals were a playoff team. Now I think I may be contradicting myself. I don't know if the Bengals are a playoff team. It's that division is so tough. I don't think I want to make any predictions on it right now. I'm going to say Ravens win the division. And the Browns may be wild card, but I don't know. I'm not going to get into that.
Yeah, I personally don't think they're a playoff team. I think the other wild card teams are too good, mm-hmm. but it definitely does help them. It's addition by subtraction. So, good move for the Browns overall.
Yeah, great move. Okay, next thing we're going to be talking about is very briefly, we're going to be talking about some COVID situations. The Giants had 8 players. What is it? 8 to 10 players? Something absurd. There's an absurd number. Get positive COVID tests this week. And this is something that we haven't seen all that much this year. So this is a pretty big story. I know Saquon's test was found to be a false positive. I'm pretty sure today report false came positive. In about that. Yes. But still, we're seeing a lot of players get COVID. At least this is a COVID scare for the Giants. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just something to monitor.
Another bigger name on the Giants, Xavier McKinney, also got a positive test. And obviously, they all did come back negative. But Saquon's still not playing because of his ankle injury. So it's just – there's not much to say about it. It's just a crazy story to go along with a crazy week of stories.
Yeah, it's a crazy story with the team. And our next COVID situation we're going to get into is about a specific player, which is maybe the wildest thing we've heard all year. Actually, maybe not. We're going to talk about something else in a little bit. But the Aaron Rodgers situation. Aaron Rodgers has COVID, and he told the media that he was vaccinated. He's not vaccinated.
No, he's definitely not vaccinated, but he did say he was immunized, which...
Yeah.
And everyone interpreted that as vaccination, as they should have, because what else... How else would you be immunized for it?
He implied he was vaccinated.
Yes, he implied he was vaccinated, but he isn't, and he hasn't been wearing his mask all season.
Which, yeah, that's superstar treatment. The league knows about it. There's not much to say here.
No.
Basically, Rodgers lied to the media, to the public. He has COVID now. This is a big situation for the Packers to deal with, media attention. And Jordan Love's going to get a start. So we're going to see what Jordan Love's got.
I'm excited to see Jordan Love play. I don't know about anyone else, but I am very excited. Jordan Love has a howitzer. And the thought of him throwing it to Davante Adams, obviously not as good as Aaron Rodgers throwing to Davante Adams. But I think if Jordan Love has a good game, that's going to shine a ray of light onto the Packers' future for the next 10 years of Jordan Love and Davante Adams having that same connection that him and Rodgers do.
Yeah, I love it. I love Jordan Love. I love him. I think he's the future of the Packers once Aaron Rodgers is gone. I think we'll see it with a win this week, have a pretty good stat line. Yeah, I'm excited about that.
Okay. I certainly can't wait.
Next, we're going to get into a pretty rough situation. Something that, you know, you hate to talk about, Henry Ruggs situation. We're not going to get too into the specifics of anything. We're just going to say, don't drink and drive.
No.
Drinking and driving is just awful. The whole situation's awful. You know, a woman died and her dog died too, which is awful to hear. We hope that the families are okay and everything. That's really, I mean, all I have to say about the actual situation. We're going to talk about the football side of it. Alex, you want to say something first before
we talk? I do want to say something. Obviously, don't drink and drive. You see a life taken unnecessarily. You see a dog's life taken unnecessarily.
Yep.
And you also see Henry Ruggs' own life thrown out the window because he decided to drink and drive with so many resources available to him. And Uber, the NFL has a free ride service for players. It's just completely unnecessary. And I'm going to say stupid to drink and drive with the consequences that bring it. Even if nothing had happened and he got home safely, it would still be completely idiotic to do that. So, yeah.
I don't think we can stress enough. Anyone listening to this right now, just don't drink and drive. Never. There's no reason to do it. Stay where you are. Get a ride from someone else. Get an Uber. Don't drink and drive. Let's talk about some of the football consequences, I guess, or just what's going to happen with the Raiders because of this. Basically, I mean, they lost, I would say, what was their franchise receiver. Maybe that might be strong to say, but they drafted him, what, 11th overall?
12th that overall sounds about right. 11th sounds right.
11 sounds right. Don't take my word on it, but around there as the number one receiver in the draft last year. Over CeeDee Lamb, over Justin Jefferson.
It was 12th.
Some 12th, yeah, okay. Over some big names. He had a slow start, don't get me wrong, but he really started to shine this year. He's not being used. He was not being used like I think a lot of people thought he should have been used, but he was on pace for 1,100 yards, 5 touchdowns. He was their deep threat, one of the fastest players in the league. And he ruined his career with that. He's not going to play football again. The Raiders are going to have to replace his production, which they'll be able to do. They won't be able to find another speedster like him, at least not immediately. But Renfro, Waller, Jacobs, Drake, Edwards, there's a lot of guys on that offense. They'll be fine. It's just really unfortunate that Ruggs made the stupid decision and ruined his career because of it and killed somebody.
Yeah, don't get us wrong. He deserves every single consequence that he's going to get. But we can still acknowledge that it is an overall unfortunate situation. Yeah. I'm going to have to disagree with you, though, on your point about that they're not going to be able to find a speedster immediately. I'm saying they're either getting Odell or DeSean Jackson.
It's one of those things. DeSean Jackson was cut by the Rams. I do think that they could sign DeSean Jackson. But I don't even know if they're going to want to do that. DeSean Jackson is solely a speedster. Henry Ruggs was a little bit more than that. The Rams don't want DeSean Jackson. I don't know if the Raiders will.
The Rams didn't want DeSean Jackson because DeSean Jackson didn't want the Rams. DeSean Jackson wasn't getting that much playing time with the Rams because they have other speedy guys. They have Van Jefferson and Tutu Atwell. Actually, Tutu Atwell might be injured for the season. So
no, I think the Rams didn't want Jackson, honestly.
That's misinformation. But I think D-Jax would be a perfect complement for the Raiders offense that is now sorely lacking a deep threat. So he would, I think he would be a great pickup, and he's available. So I think they'll be able to replace Ruggs this season.
I don't think they will. We'll see. I wouldn't mind if they signed Jackson or Odell. If they signed Odell, that would be great for them. But I think look for Renfro to see some more targets, look for Waller to see some bigger games. And it's just unfortunate that this whole situation would happen. Yeah, I think that's all we're going to say about that. We're going to talk about another receiver now, also a pretty, not crazy situation, but I guess unexpected, you could say.
Certainly unexpected.
Calvin Ridley. It's a guy who has been a superstar receiver over the last 2 years. The Falcons have passed the torch. Roddy White to Julio Jones to now Calvin Ridley. I don't know how they do it. I guess, you know, practice. Yeah, they complement each other. They you know, teach each other what to do. And Calvin Ridley has some mental stuff going on. He is taking a mental break from football. He needs time to focus on his mental health and himself. And I respect that. I really think that people who comment about this and who, you know, with Simone Biles or any other athlete, Calvin Ridley, anybody who needs a mental break, you know, Osaka, tennis player, needed a mental break. A lot of people gave her a hard time for that. You know, these players are people too. They need time to heal. They need time for themselves. I think this is, you know, something that we should really, you know, not congratulate. We should be supportive of Calvin Ridley in this time. I hope he is able to figure it out. And yeah.
I commend Calvin Ridley for what he did. It obviously stinks to not see him play for these next few weeks, however long it is. There's no set timeline. The Falcons just put him on the NFI list, which means he's missing 3 weeks at minimum. And I commend him for doing it. I hope he comes back at his best, both mentally and on the field. So, yeah, not much else to say.
Yeah, and one last piece of news. The last thing we have to talk about is Michael Thomas. We already mentioned it. This is a big blow. I thought he was coming back. He was the best, arguably the best player in football in 2019. That's a big argument to have, but he was fantastic. This is the second year where he's just missing. He's missing the whole year this year. He missed a majority last year. So, I mean, his career, we just don't know what's happening now anymore with Michael Thomas. Will he ever get back on track once he comes back? Who knows? You have any thoughts about this, Alex?
I think Michael Thomas has played his last game in the black and gold uniform of the Saints. I definitely think he's out of there, and especially with the uncertainty of Jameis next year. I think Jameis is a free agent, so with the uncertainty there, I don't know that Michael Thomas wants to be there. It feels like Michael Thomas hasn't wanted to be there since Drew Brees retired. And since Drew Brees hasn't been at his best, last year there were crazy stories about how he didn't want to be there, but it all got resolved allegedly, which it doesn't seem like that's the case anymore.
It does not seem like it's been resolved. And like you said, these stories were pretty descriptive. Usually when we hear news, they usually don't have all the details to everything, but we got a lot of inside information about what was going on during Michael Thomas's injury. We heard that the Saints mismanaged his injury. They mismanaged him. They tried to rush him back too early. They also weren't valuing him as a superstar receiver. So there's just a lot of stuff going on last season that has carried on into this season. I agree with you. I don't think he's coming back to the Saints. I think he still is a superstar receiver. I just
absolutely, absolutely, he's a superstar. He's going to be so coveted this offseason, and I'm excited to see where he goes.
I am too, Alex. That wraps it up. There was a lot of news this week, a lot of unfortunate things, a lot of crazy things happening. I don't think there will be another episode like this. So, yeah, this is pretty special. But, yeah, those were our thoughts about all the stuff going on, all the news. I'm sure this next week in football is going to be pretty hectic after all this stuff went down, and we're ready for it.
Yes, we are.
Okay. This was Goal Line Stuff. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you next week.